Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music. Brother Tim having double duty tonight, leading songs and singing specials as well. And so we appreciate his willingness to do that. As again, the other staff are away at Senior High Camp this week, and we have others down there with them as well. But praise the Lord for those that are able to be here and be in church tonight, looking forward to what God has for us through the study of His Word. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 9, Genesis in chapter 9, we've been looking at and studying the life of Noah. And my goodness, there has been so much as we have been studying the life of Noah. And tells us more about the pre-flood civilization, understanding that they were multiplying on the earth for almost 1,700 years before the flood. And there was many people on the earth before the flood, and God destroyed the earth and the flood. And after the flood, we find that it's a new world, and things are different. And so God met with Noah after he'd been on the ark for a year and 10 days, after all the flood waters had done their damage, after the heavens had changed. There's a different atmosphere, if you will. The atmosphere of the heavens had changed, in that all the rain and all the waters from the atmosphere has come down to earth, and now they've evaporated. So now we have an earth that it is going to begin to rain from this time on, and a lot of things have changed since that time. And so we look at the change by how God instructed Adam when He created the world for humanity, and this is what God's will was for Adam. And during that time, and then after the destruction of the world, after God destroyed man that was on the earth before the flood, and now we find that He instructs Noah and his families were the only ones on this planet, only living creatures outside of that which was in the ocean. And God had destroyed everything else except for what was on the ark. And so then after this time, we find that God does speak to Noah, and He reveals some things to Noah. As we looked here in chapter 9, we've already studied some things there that He met with Noah to bless and instruct him concerning this new world. The pre-flood civilization was gone. Last week, we looked at verse 2, 3, and 4, which reveals man's supremacy over animals. And then the second part of last week was meat was introduced into his diet. Now, God is the one that introduced meat into the diet of humanity. And evidently, the vegetation was not enough for man at that point, for whatever changes had been made. But we find that after the flood in the new world, then God reveals to Noah that meat would be introduced into his diet. And we saw last week that according to even what Peter had vision of, it was to be something moving. Amen. Don't eat anything already dead. Just kill it with the purpose of eating it. So kill and eat, kill and eat. So what we looked at last week is the changes that we have been revealed to us. Tonight we're going to be looking at verse 5 and 6, but we're going to read starting with verse 1 down to verse 6. So go ahead and stand with me. Genesis chapter 9. Trust that you're ready tonight to study the Word of God, to let God speak to you. I know Wednesday night to midweek, everyone has dealt with their own individual battles. And, God understands the burdens that He puts us under, and we're to look to bear our own burdens. But we can come together Wednesday night and help bear one another's burdens. Already done that as we prayed together. And we can encourage one another. Amen. I think we ought to come to church with a desire to be an encouragement to others around us. And I think that's already happened. We've already sang praises together and been ministered to in music. And it's to just receive more of that spiritual help that we have need of to live a spiritual life. And so we're getting ready to do that as we study this life of Noah here tonight. So Genesis chapter 9, look at verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon the fishes of the sea. Into your hands are they delivered. Now that's a little different than how God instructed Adam. Okay, and of course we've already studied some of that, but it's a different way of addressing Noah. And then he says in verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Every living thing that moveth, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb, which he had given to Adam, have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And then verse 5, and surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Wow, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us and for the opportunity we have to be in church tonight. Just pray, God, that you'd help each one of us to put everything else out of our minds so that we can focus on what you have for us in this study this evening. So I pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So man is to govern man based upon God's word. Man is to govern man, not based upon man's philosophies, not based upon man's desires, but based upon God's word. Now, this is the way that Noah and his family were to build the New World Society. The New World Society was understanding what God had saved Noah to do, starting all over again. Amen. And if you want to see the mess of things that the first society made, all you have to do is look at the pre-flood account that the Bible gives us. And so after almost 1,700 years and after God destroyed that, and now God has saved Noah alive, and now after he has destroyed the world and he got Noah off the boat, and now he's telling Noah concerning, instructing him as to how the new world is going to start all over. And these are God's instructions for the new world society, which we're continuing to live in. Because God promised that nothing would change from that day. From the day of Noah, there was a lot of change between Adam and Noah in the atmosphere, in the heavens, and everything else, and how man, the years man would live, everything else. There had been a lot of changes during that period of time. But after Noah, there would not be a change. And we had God's promise that there would always be day and night. There would always be the seasons of time. And it would be destroyed later on down the road. And we look in the New Testament, the Bible tells us exactly what will take place and when God will destroy the earth. But until that time, then things will remain the same as far as the natural things, the ways that God has established for this post-flood society. So in starting this new world society, this is what God's will was from the very beginning. Man is to govern man based upon what thus saith the Lord. Sounds somewhat like how America was started. And the Constitution and the laws of our land wasn't based on just philosophies of men. It was based on what the Bible taught. Can I tell you that as we study the Bible, and especially as we look right here, government is a divine institution. Godly, biblical government, the way that God designed it to be, the way that God instructed the government to be established, is a divine institution. With that in mind, again, there's no doubting that. He reveals to us that whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he him. And that's very important because the most important thing that man was to judge man on would be the taking of life. That would be the most important thing that we had to judge in this life. And then everything else would fall underneath that same category. But it is man judging man, or man to govern man, based upon God's word. Now, with that in mind, now look with me to the New Testament, Romans chapter 13. That gives you a better understanding of what God says about government, even in this New Testament church age. Romans in chapter 13, In Romans in chapter 13, we need to understand verse 1 to start with. And we're going to read down to verse 7. We're going to study, just briefly look at that. But chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, let every soul... Now, who is that? Every man. Every living man, woman, and child. Every soul. Every man, every creature that has a soul, and we find that mankind is the only one that has an eternal soul, created in God's image, after God's likeness. So it's talking about humanity as a whole. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. As we look to that idea of power, that is authority that has been established. Okay, so let everyone be subject unto the higher power or the authority that has been established from all the way back to Noah. God instructed Noah to establish authority over man, called government. Man was to govern man based upon God's word. God was not going to, at that point, come down and meet with man any longer. I think he did that with Adam and Eve. Wasn't going to do that. If man made a mistake, God was not going to have this big ball bat come down out of heaven and knock you over the head. He was not going to take your life the instant that you did something that would have been opposite God's word. If you did something to break the laws of God, and the law, it was not up to God at that point to discipline you. Man was to discipline man. Man was to govern man by the word of God. That's key to understand that. The new world society was now being established. Now we find here in the New Testament, Jesus came and he's helping us to understand everything that God established in the Old Testament and how that it now is to be applied in the New Testament. This new church generation, this New Testament church age. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. That means that there are authority and then there is an order of authority. Just as we would look at it, we have an order of authority in our government. The one that you would meet with more than anyone, you're not going to meet with one. The Supreme Court magistrate, you're going to meet with an officer that's got a red and blue light on top of his car pulling you over. But they represent the government. So let every soul be subject. Be aware of that. Aware of the position that they hold unto the higher powers. For there is no power, no authority, but of God. And God's will would have been for every authority, every government on planet Earth to be governed by His Word. To be used to govern man based on biblical principles. Now, that's not the way this world has gone. Possibly not as bad as the first world as of yet. I think before God destroys this world, it will get that bad. Apostasy will become greater and greater. The Antichrist is not anti-religion. It's anti-biblical principles. It's anti what Christ taught. I think that is changing right before our very eyes. No doubt about it. And it's very rapidly changing before our eyes. So he goes on to say, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So that means if all other authority came by God, it's underneath God's final authority. So the highest authority that we could hold to and look to would not be the Supreme Court. The highest authority that we have to look to today around the world is the same. The same highest authority for America is the same highest authority that Russia has, the same highest authority that Japan could look to, the same highest authority that China would look to. All humanity, all souls, the highest power, the highest authority for mankind to look to is the creator of mankind, who is God, who's written to us His Word and preserved it for us. Amen. So we find that's what he's talking about there, the highest authority. Now, realizing that, look with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, we find the New Testament helping us to understand everything concerning the will of God, Old Testament, leading into, up to this New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13. Submit yourselves. It is the responsibility of every individual to abide by the laws. That way, it is no one's fault if you break the law. Then you're held accountable for that. And if you break the law, it's because you chose to break the law, and you have to suffer the consequences of breaking the law. The whatever consequences that man has decided to govern man by. Amen? So he says there, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors. Now he is giving you the different powers that be, the different authorities. Or unto governors or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. That is what God established it for, punishment of evildoers. Again, according to what God says is evil, not according to what man says is evil. So that means that the government has to be in alignment with God's word to be the right power, to be the right authority. If they're not the right authority, then it's up to humanity to still honor government, but look to the highest authority when it comes to obeying laws. Just because man makes a law does not mean that I need to obey that law, and I will not obey that law if that law is opposite the highest authority law. The law that the highest authority has established. Wow. So, sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king or whoever's in charge of establishing the laws. Okay, now go back to Romans with me. We have that. That was chapter 13, verse 1, understanding the powers, what he's talking about there. And then if we look back to Romans, chapter 13, verse 2, now down to verse 7. The Bible says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, I hope you understand what he's talking about there, now the laws of the land, the authority of the laws that we live by, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Because government is a divine institution. It's what God's established. Now, again, it's established for government to look to God and to rule according to the word. Verse 13, verse 3, it says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. That's what it was established to be. That's what government ought to do. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. If you break the law, you ought to fear the consequences of breaking the law. That's what he's saying there. Be afraid. I think there ought to be a fear of breaking the law. There ought to be a fear of murder, killing somebody. There ought to be a fear of stealing. If there's no fear, then what's going to keep humanity that has a sin nature from yielding to those things? So, be afraid of the power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God for the good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. It's important, it's not vanity that you have punishment. It's important that you have that. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's what God was establishing for Noah, to establish this new world society. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That's exactly what Jesus taught. You honor the government. Render unto Caesar that which belongeth unto Caesar. Make sure you render unto God that which belongeth unto God. Okay, so are you kind of seeing the connection here? Where God says, all right, Noah, I've saved you. And I'm giving you these promises. We've already studied some of the promises. He would not change things. He would not have to worry about destroying the world with a flood again. And now he says, this is what I want you to do in establishing this new world society. Man is to govern man using, based upon God's word. Man's greatest possession is life. The greatest possession that you hold here tonight is your life. The most precious commodity that all of us have is time. Because we're all limited to it. It's the most important thing that we can give someone else. Time. So our greatest possession is the life that God's given to us. Man's life has had the highest value of all for one reason. Back there in Genesis, go back, chapter 9. Why are you so special? Why are you more important than the eagles? Why are you more important than the whales? Why are you more important than your dog? And some people don't think that other people are as important as their dog. Amen. I guarantee you that. Because the Bible says, chapter 9, verse 6, for in the image of God made he man. Can't say that about an eagle. You can't say that about a whale. Can't say that about a dog. Can't say that about, surely you can't say that about a cat. Amen. I'm already in trouble, all right. So. Man's life has the highest value of all for one reason. He represents God on earth. We were created in God's image after his likeness. Wow. So government is to establish laws to protect the greatest possession in this world. The greatest commodity of this world. Government established by God is to establish laws to protect the lives and the free will of men, humanity. That's exactly how God established it. Now, we look back over the different centuries and we know it's not always been that way, but that's always been the will of God. Not every government has yielded to that, but those governments have come and gone, and God has destroyed those governments, and God has taken them and made them low. They thought that they were so high. Some governments wanted to rule the world, and some men thought that they could have the power to rule the world, and God's the one that kept that from taking place. And God elevated the United States of America. Because this great nation was established upon what the Bible says. And let's make sure that our laws have been established. Man is going to govern man under the authority that has been given to us from God. Why are we so blinded to that? God's law, God's laws that should govern man's treatment of man. Very clearly revealed to us in Moses' law in the Old Testament, if you looked at Exodus in chapter 20. Exodus in chapter 20. So as man started governing man based upon God's word, God gave to man his commandments. What man will be held accountable to concerning what he does in his relationship with God, and then what man will be accountable to concerning his relationship with other men. That's why Jesus said you can put all the law into two basic categories. Loving God, loving humanity. But here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, this is man governing man. God says when he's dealing with man governing man, he says the first thing is thou shalt not kill. And that means murder. Man is not to take another man's life because he gets upset with that man. Because you're in disagreement with whatever it might be. And you don't want that person alive. And since you are bigger than that person, or you have the opportunities to take that person's life, then I'm going to selfishly take that man's life so I can have things done my way. So God says, man governing man based upon my word, and my word says at the very top of the list, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That means that no matter what your evil mind comes up with, if that woman is another man's wife, God says, if you commit adultery with her, you're going to answer to me. And man's laws ought to be so placed in the law itself as to it would hinder adultery. For a man to take another man's wife, or for a woman to take another woman's husband, adultery. Underneath murdering somebody, the most ridiculous thing, the most evil thing that you can do to another human being is to have an affair with their spouse. Because you're destroying the very family that God has established. And you're taken away because of your own selfish desires, taken away some child's father, some child's mother, some man's husband, or some man's wife, and some wife's husband. Listen to me. God says that is evil. The only thing you can do worse than that is to murder. Thou shalt not. Wow, I think there ought to be some laws about that. I think there, if you look back on America there, I think there has been laws. Yeah, I wonder where those are going to go to. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, now you've not messing with the most prized possession, life and family. Now, what are you going to do when somebody comes in and takes everything you have just because they want it and they don't want to work for it? So there needs to be some laws, man governing man based upon God's word, and God says, make some laws so that man will not steal from another man. It's evil. Why should you feel like you can take something that doesn't belong to you? Take it away from somebody that's worked hard to provide for. Well, didn't stop there. We find the ninth commandment is thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You want to look at some of the evils? Lie about somebody. Tell lies on somebody. You know how to destroy somebody's testimony? Destroy somebody's marriage? Start telling lies. It's your word against theirs. unless there was some kind of a fear of punishment. What would keep people from just saying whatever I want to say to get whatever I can get? If I can lie about it and get what I want, what's to keep me from lying about it? A fear of God. What's to keep you from adultery? Fear of God. What's to keep you from stealing? Fear of God. You ought to have a fear of the law, but also ultimately the highest authority, you ought to fear God. Yeah. Unless you're taught there is no God. Then that limits the fear of doing any of these things. Wow. And then 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his men servants, nor his maid servants, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Covetousness. Wow. Much of the Bible has, there's much in the Bible that has to deal with coveting. So, go back to our text. This is how this new world was to be established. And has been somewhat human government from that point forward. God allowing man to govern man. The sad thing about it is that man has not always and does not look to God to know how to govern man. When man violates God's law, then he loses his freedom and must pay for his crime. So it's important that man establish laws based on the laws of God. So now you have somebody that has violated not only man's laws, but now they realize that man's laws came from God. And so now I have the fear of not only man, but I have the fear of God to help deter those types of crimes. Thus, capital punishment. Verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood by man... It's God saying, this is what, if he's going to kill man, then that is the most evil thing that anyone could do in this life is murder another person, because man is so much higher than the animals, so much higher. Life is the most precious thing on this planet, human life, because it was made in the image and likeness of God. So he says, if another man would take the life of someone else, murder, he'll pay with his own life. When man violates God's law, then he loses his freedom and must pay for his crime. To oppose this is nothing more than being in opposition to God. And if you oppose to capital punishment, you have been listening to somebody more than what you've been listening to God. In closing here, I just got a few more. There's so much here I want to share with you tonight, but I know I'm limited here. So verse 5, in closing, two quick things. The law, first of all, that governs animals. Did you know that the Bible, in the beginning, we find here that God says there needs to be laws governing animals. Well, in America, we've had laws that have been put on the books to govern animals. One of the things he says here, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. So, God's creation, what God has created for humanity, needs to be appreciated by humanity. Animals were created for man. Not for God. Animals, human beings, were created for God. And God created animals for human beings. And in chapter 9, verse 2, it says this, it's talking about the animals, it says, into your hands are they delivered. I've created them, and actually now, ever since Noah's day, he says, they've been given to you for food. So laws that govern animals, as God's creation, needs to be appreciative and cared for by man. But animals created for men, and if an animal kills a man, the animal is to be killed. If the animal, the species, continues to kill man, then the species needs to be eliminated. I believe that that possibly what happened to some of the species on this earth in the early days of Noah. Because if there was a species that turned evil that only looked to eliminate man and killed man's life, then this world was not created for the animals. This world was created for humanity. And God says in governing animals, if an animal kills a man, the animal needs to be killed. Yeah. And then ultimate law that governs man. Verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man, man's judgment of man is if you murder, then your life is to be taken. After man's judgment, God will judge. I want you to see that verse 5 again. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and the hand of him, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Will I require, God says, now I'm going to establish man, and man is going to establish laws, and the laws are to capital punishment. But even after that man has met the laws of the land and been punished by man, they're going to come to me. And I require them. God says not only will man punish the murderer, but they will come to me and I will impose a judgment upon man that murders a man. Wow. If man gets it wrong, God will not. O.J. Simpson. Now, I know some of you still think he's innocent. I don't know. But if man got it wrong, can I tell you something? God will not get it wrong. If you think somebody gets by with murder, even though the law might not prosecute them, even though the law might not give them capital punishment, they will face an almighty God who says, I require. No one's going to get by with murder. But in saying that, murder is not the unpardonable sin. Jesus clearly taught that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. So suicide cannot be the unpardonable sin. Because suicide is the murdering of self. If you murder yourself in suicide, listen, you don't have to worry about man. Amen. Because you're not here for man to accept man's judgment. No matter what the judgment man would have on it, you're gone. But you will stand before an almighty God and give an account. This day and age we're living in, can I tell you, suicide rate is climbing so fast. Because they don't have fear of God. I've got some thoughts. I've got some of these flyers on the back table back there if you want one of these, but biblical thoughts on suicide, and I don't have time to go through it all, but just briefly, the sin of suicide is murder, murdering of yourself. Murder is a sin that can be placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. Moses was a murderer as well as Paul was a murderer, and they both had the blood of Christ covered them of that sin of murder. Now, they lived with some scars of that, but the murder itself was cleansed under the blood of Christ. When a person gets saved, they are justified in God's eyes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's of all sins. Once a person gets saved, they have a place in heaven reserved. They have everlasting life, eternal life, even though they might murder somebody else in between that time. Suicide is the devil's ultimate victory in a saved person's life, for they no longer have opportunities to serve Christ. Not only do they have an opportunity to serve Christ, it destroys life on earth. It takes away opportunities for worship. It takes away opportunities for fellowship. takes opportunities away from you being what God wants you to be to other people. It's a coward's way out, is basically what it is. And it is a sin that God will judge. But it's not the unpardonable sin. Suicide is the devil's ultimate victory in a saved person's life, for they no longer serve Christ. They can no longer serve Christ. Satan can blind a person to keep them from being able to see a purpose for life. And when they no longer see a purpose for their existence, they want out of this existence. God would only allow this to happen to a believer only if the believer would reach the point where they would never again bear fruit for Christ. Some thoughts of the biblical verses there that you can look to support that, but some thoughts on that. I think that we need to be aware of that. We need to understand that. Murder destroys life on earth. Can I tell you, as we go through the Bible, there's been many Bible characters that have desired death. Many of them. But none living in God's will has ever taken their lives. Not one. Not one Bible character, not one person on earth that's living in God's will has ever taken their own life. If you've lost your purpose for life, ask God to give you a reason to want to live. God says, this is how I want you to start all over, Noah. We ought to stick to God's plan for society. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.